Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement group. Now, today on the program, we're here to discuss several recent court and legal decisions that affect private security and other service workers. Here on the radio program, you will find us discussing legal issues, lawsuits, and various situations that involved our frontline protectors, as well as recent legal cases that have come down the pike, and today is no different. Topping off the program today, we want to talk about a Federal Trade Commission decision and ruling that affects the private security industry. If you're not familiar with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, a very large office within the federal government, and you don't really hear as much from them as you do some of the other federal agencies. It is an independent federal agency here in the U.S. government. Principal mission really is the enforcement of civil antitrust law, promotion of consumer protection. If you had a company and, for instance, you were biased against individuals or you don't sell to all individuals, that could be an antitrust or it could be an FTC issue. The FTC is within the Department of Justice Antitrust Division. It's been around a long time. It was actually founded, I didn't know this until I looked it up to prepare for my radio show today, but it was founded by President Woodrow Wilson back on September the 26th, 1914. So yes, it's been around a long, long time. And unfortunately, people aren't aware of who they are or what they do until it's too late. In this particular case that we're reviewing today, the Federal Trade Commission finalized a consent order against a private security company called Prudential Security Incorporated and Prudential Command Incorporated, doing business as, and their owners, which violated the FTC Act through unfair use of post-employment covenants. Now, this is really something that many companies do, is to use non-competes, which may be legal in some form, but one of the things that the FTC looked at in this situation was, does it unfairly constrain that employee? And this is one of those legal agreements and contracts that are almost always used for managerial staff to keep them from deciding to hop over to another company and take trade secrets or information about the business that would enhance some other company. But in this situation, we see that this security company, Prudential Security and Prudential Command, they were making every employee, every security officer sign these post-employment covenant agreements, not to compete, commonly referred to as non-compete agreements, NCAs. We see them everywhere in many different industries. But the FTC, after looking into it, they looked and said these non-competes should not be part of the employment process, and seldom are used for entry-level hourly employees or frontline supervisors who really have low salaries, which these security companies all really are one. But this situation arises from your entry-level hourly employee being made to sign these non-competes. In essence, what that did was it restricted them from leaving this company and going to another company for an additional 25 cents an hour or for a promotion. It restricted them from being employed if they were to leave this security company. The federal government looked into this and into the operation of the security company. So when you have some of these very restrictive agreements or unfair labor violations, you're opening up your whole company, your whole business, to be scrutinized not only by the original agency, such as the EEOC, but by the IRS, by the FTC, by other state and federal government agencies, just like what happens during a police investigation. If police are investigating a organized retail crime syndicate, they may find other violations such as drugs or weapons, and they may call in DEA, ATF, or other specialized law enforcement agencies to begin investigating separately separate crimes. And that's what happened here. The FTC got involved with this company and began looking at their employee and labor practices and saw numerous violations, and they got other agencies involved as well. If you're going to do something so restrictive, if you're going to do something so unreasonable, if you're going to do something that not only violates one area of the law, but possibly violates multiple, then you can, you know, pretty much expect that your business, your life, will be put under the microscope. And that's what happened here. Once the FTC got a hold of this and they began looking at these low-wage security officers and how restrictive the agreements were, they said, we have other problems here. And they called in other agencies. The FTC, upon their investigation, said these were unreasonable agreements. They reduced employee job mobility. They curtailed competition. They deprived the workers of higher wages by going elsewhere. And they also deprived them of more favorable working conditions, almost like indentured slaves, almost like making them slaves, tying them down where they had no freedom. They had no choice. They either stayed there, or if they did leave, they'd have to get a different type of job position that did not include physical security. When we come back, we'll look at the agreement and the FTC ruling and how other companies across the country may also be in violation, may be subject to their own investigations. You're listening to On the Legal Side, a production of Private Officer International and Blue Ram Media Group, LLC.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Ticket.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vest or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it. Welcome back to On the Legal Side. We're talking about a security company, a private contract security company known as Prudential Security or Prudential Command in Michigan, who unfairly leveraged their power against their employees by restricting whether or not they could leave the company and take employment at another contract security company. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, came in. They investigated. According to the complaint, the two affiliated security guard companies leveraged an unequal bargaining power between Prudential Security and its employees, it says, to impose a non-compete agreement on its workers, most of whom were low-wage security officers or low-wage frontline supervisors or security personnel that were told they were supervisors. And we've seen this scenario time and time again, where a entry-level person is hired as a supervisor, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, post-supervisor, post-commander, whatever you want to call them, and told that they're a supervisor. And they feel great. Hey, I'm a supervisor. I'm the commander of the post, of the location, only to find out that their wages, hourly rates, were reduced. Because instead of making overtime after 40, they were working 60, 70, 80 plus hours, making far below the minimum wage when all things were considered. The FTC says that the company, Prudential Security, illegally, unlawfully hindered these employees from going out and getting better jobs. They deprived the workers of higher wages and more favorable working conditions. To resolve this issue, Prudential Security said that they would agree to a consent order. And under the terms of that consent order from the Federal Trade Commission, Prudential Security is enjoined from entering into future non-compete agreements or enforcing them against any employees. That word enjoin means that they agree and have come together with the FTC not to do it anymore. It's a contract. The company must also inform any past or current employees subject to a non-compete agreement of the settlement and must meet certain compliance obligations and reporting requirements if they fail to do so. If they violate the consent order, then they will face federal penalties. And they could even wind up in court and be out of business. This is not something new in this or other minimum wage or low wage service industry, especially jobs. We've seen it time and time again for many, many decades. And either the EEOC or the FTC or some other state or federal agency has to come in and set things straight. I do believe that many service industry workers, including private security, are taken advantage of. Some intentionally, some maybe not so intentionally. I know that when I worked in the industry in my younger days and I was promoted to a supervisor and given a raise, I did work many hours, and I did make some overtime. And then I got another promotion, and I was made like a regional supervisor on a salary. And they took advantage of me, called me in all hours, days and nights, filled in the gap when someone didn't show up or somebody left the post. That's how security companies break the law. There are a number of hours that are justified on a salary. But when you go past, and some states have set limits. If you give someone a salary, they set a limit. 50 hours, anything over than that, you have to pay overtime. There's a lot of different types of businesses who use the same model of salary. That means that if you get sick, you can take the day off, you're still going to get paid. That means if you got to take the kid to the doctors, you're still going to get paid. Yes, it does, but you shouldn't take advantage of the employee on the other end and make them work 90 hours for, you know, less than minimum wage. Anyways, the FTC here said that this company, well, it outright was unlawful. Just the mere restrictions that they put on their employees, the fact that they couldn't go out and get a better job or a better wage or a better working condition. And we're going to follow this company. We've actually done a little digging on them already, but we're going to follow them. And we have a few others in our sites as well, and we're checking on them because we know they do the same thing. And I don't know how to get away with it. Several other court decisions have come down over the last few weeks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the next court decision that I'd like to discuss. You're listening to On the Legal Side, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Driving a car is basically like driving a weapon.
My friend died because someone made a bad driving decision.
My uncle died because someone didn't think before they got behind the wheel.
You let down your parents and your loved ones.
You could lose your friends. Parents don't like their kids hanging out with criminals.
Drug driving is just as bad as drunk driving.
Welcome back to On the Legal Side. Today we're talking about a number of court or legal decisions that have come down over the last month or so that directly affect service industry employees, especially those in private security. We just talked about the limitations that one company put on their employees to advance themselves or to change jobs by using non-compete agreements. The Federal Trade Commission found those to be illegal. Coming out of Georgia last month, a interesting ruling, and this is something that is not surprising to me, and I don't think it was a direct violation or meant to be a violation, but some security companies, rather than pay overtime, they use what's called a bank of hours. And I've seen this in law enforcement as well and other organizations and businesses. So if you are scheduled for 40 hours and you work 8 additional hours, rather than pay you 8 hours of overtime, they allow you to take 8 hours off somewhere down the road. It's called payback hours. And that eliminates those overtime hours. So, for instance, you could get 40 hours of payback hours in your bank. And you could take a whole week off. You would have to put in for it, but you would be able to take that week off. And that makes up for those 40 hours that you worked but did not get paid overtime. So I want to make sure that this is clear. If you work 8 hours of overtime, you're going to get paid regular hours. But you'll also have 8 hours more that you can take off. It's really a good deal if it's applied fairly and if somebody's really keeping track of that. I know of a highway patrol agency. They operate under this model. So if their troopers are called out to investigate an accident in the overnight hours or on their day off, or if they're working a case and it's their time to go home, they continue working through the case rather than clock out, and rather than sending another trooper there, they work through the case, whether that be a accident investigation, a DUI arrest, or whatever it might be. Then he gets paid for those, or she gets paid for those hours worked, 8, 10, 12, 4, whatever it might be. And they have an additional 4, 8, or 12 hours, whatever extra that was worked, in their bank. So on, let's say, a Friday, when that trooper wants to go out of town with his family and he's off Saturday and Sunday, well, he can take Friday off and it'll be a paid day. It operates in a kind of a PTO, pay time off type model, where people have a number of days that they can use, whether that be for sick time or maybe personal day off or vacation time, PTO. Some companies will put your PTO all together. You have 40 hours, you have 80 hours, you have 120. You can take it for vacation. You can take it for sick time, personal leave, whatever it might be. That's where it all comes from, that bank. So the ruling in Georgia was that it was legal. The company paid them straight time and then gave them additional paid time off. So that ruling stayed. And like I said, I've known of other companies and even law enforcement agencies that operate those models, and they are definitely 100% legal. This case here is from the great state of Pennsylvania, coming out of Philadelphia. Paid time off that workers accumulate is not part of their salary under U.S. wage law, meaning employers can take away paid leave when salaried workers do not meet productivity quotas, a federal appeals court ruled in March. A three-judge panel of the Philadelphia-based 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously ruled that a home health care did not violate any federal law by docking salaried employees' paid time off, otherwise known as PTO, which I just spoke about. When the employee does not meet the required weekly hours, PTO can be taken away. So, for instance, if you're required to work 40 hours a week or 60 hours on a salary and you don't work those hours, then those paid time off, which is a benefit and not part of your salary, can be taken away. And it doesn't violate any employee law or any federal wage law. This case marks the first time that a U.S. appeals court was asked whether paid time off counts as part of an employee's salary. The question is really important because many salaried employees can become eligible for overtime pay if employers make deductions from their wages. Now, the Third Court Circuit panel also said that while a salary is a fixed amount of compensation paid out at regular intervals, it might be weekly, biweekly, or once a month, paid time off is a fringe benefit, one offered by the employer under no obligation from any worker wage law. Therefore, as a fringe benefit, it has no effect on a worker's wage and can be paid irregularly. That's once a week, once a month, or can be taken away if the employee leaves the company or doesn't meet any standards, productivity requirements, or other requirements of those free benefits. New Jersey-based Baya Home Health Care Incorporated was the subject of this lawsuit, and the federal court found they did not violate the employee's rights. They said that because the home health company deducted PTO when employees did not reach a weekly productivity quota, they were paid based on how much they did work and were not salaried employees. And therefore, there was no violation of the law. Courts have ruled repeatedly that sick time can also be taken away if you don't meet certain requirements. For instance, a company might have a requirement that if you're out more than 2 days, you've got to go to the doctor's office, because these are extra fringe benefits and not part of your salary or hourly wage. You're extra. And therefore, an employer can have certain stipulations or even take them away completely. The court ruled that PTO is extra and not part of an employee's salary or other guaranteed wages under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act. Now, the ruling only went to affirm another federal judge ruling in 2021 that also came to the same conclusion. If a company has certain criteria that must be met to receive benefits, and you don't meet them, they can be taken away, plain and simple. The bottom line is, when an employer is offering special benefits that's not required under federal law, they can take them away. Employer gives them, employer can take them away. That's going to conclude today's episode of On the Legal Side. We appreciate you being here, myself, my group here, and we hope that you listen to tomorrow's production of Private Officer Beat Radio. And remember, you can always listen to all of our programs streaming 24 hours a day across more than 30 platforms, and especially on the iHeartRadio network. Until the next time, y'all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.